Creating Doors is about giving people opportunities to show what they know, share what they do, and by doing this, it builds connections, understanding, and appreciation for the work of others.
Yeah, these opportunities for people to speak across departments or buildings is an important way to build trust, which is a key ingredient of systemic synergy.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Change Starts Here, Research Edition. I'm Dustin Odom, and I want to introduce you to the two Research Edition co-hosts, Dr. Jennifer Chevalier and Kim Yaris. Jennifer has a doctorate in educational leadership and three master's degrees in this field of education. She served in public education for over 15 years through various school and district leadership roles. Her areas of expertise are in education research, strategic planning, and state education, federal and state education funding. She is a co-author of a 2023 research article published in the International Journal of Education Policy and Leadership, and is a member of the Leader in Me Speakers Bureau. Currently, Dr. Chevalier is a director at Franklin Covey Education. Kim has a master's in education and has worked in education for 30 years in multiple roles. She's been an elementary and middle school classroom teacher, an instructional coach, and a literacy consultant. She's a co-author of two professional books for teachers and has written multiple journal articles, and currently works on the research team at Franklin Covey Education. These two women are some of the most passionate, sincere people I've ever had a chance to work with, and I am excited and honored to have them be the co-hosts of Change Starts Here Research Edition. Enjoy this episode.
Hello, everybody. I am Kim Yaris, and I'm here with my colleague and friend, Jen Chevalier. Jen, can you remind our listeners about the topic that we are focusing on this season?
Sure, Kim. In our previous episode, which was actually the first episode of the season, we created a general vision of systemic synergy. We also provided a tool to help districts cast a unique vision for systemic synergy.
Hey, and for those of you who missed that episode, we strongly encourage you to go back to get that resource and get an overview of what that season and what our season is going to be all about.
Agreed. Please check it out.
Also, as a reminder, systemic synergy, what is that? It is what we are using to describe what happens when we intentionally design systems so that there's rich synergy throughout the entire organization, including across departments, ranks, levels, locations, and schedules.
Great recap, Kim. One of the key benefits of systemic synergy is enabling people to work smarter, not harder. But I suspect we will see other themes emerge as we discuss it.
So, as we have been thinking about this topic, which we do a lot, I have been digging around in the research, and here is an interesting statistic that I found. 83% of those surveyed said that silos exist in their organizations. And 97% reported that the silos have a negative effect on their performance.
Whoa, wait. So that's a really high percentage. You said 97% said that silos have a negative effect?
Yes, huge, right?
Well, if nearly everyone agrees that silos are detrimental, it feels logical to talk about tearing them down. But that's not what we're actually going to do, right, Kim?
Nope.
Instead, we are going to make the case that silos serve a purpose and therefore are necessary. And what we really need to do is remodel the silos.
Ooh, remodeling silos. So when I think about remodeling, a couple of different thoughts come to mind. One is like when you pick a room, you gut it, and in the end, it looks completely different. And the other is when you choose an aspect of a space that you think can be improved and focus on that space. When we're talking about remodeling silos in education, which type of remodeling is a better metaphorical match, would you say, Jen?
Well, I think the answer is both. It depends on the extent to which siloing occurs and a district's unique vision for systemic synergy.
Okay, both it is. Let's follow this house remodeling metaphor through to the end. Why don't we start by identifying the kinds of quote-unquote rooms we would be looking to remodel within that quote-unquote house?
So based on some reading I've done, educational silos fall into at least four categories or rooms, if you will.
Well, what's the first?
Let's start with departmental silos.
Ooh, that sounds like a really big room.
You could say that. In essence, when departmental silos exist, departments are siloed off from one another, and this can occur at the district or school level because departments exist at both levels.
Okay, so this has me thinking back to my time as an educator, and we had, when I worked in the middle school, say, we had departments like English Language Arts, Math Department, World Languages. Is this what you mean?
Exactly. When you think back, how much did you know about what was happening in other departments? Or did you ever collaborate with other departments on anything?
Well, we had good intentions. We sometimes talked about having interdepartmental meetings to discuss curriculum and testing schedules. But we were not very good about following through. And I think that the end result of that was things happening like I'd make a big writing assignment due, there'd be a math test, and also to find out that the science teacher had also assigned a big project. And you know what happened as a result of that? Unhappy parents and unhappy students, most importantly.
I bet that sounds like a lot going on for just one day.
Yeah.
So that's a great example, Kim, of how departmental silos at the school level negatively impact students and families and why we need to consider remodeling silos.
So what about at the district level? Do you have an example of what a departmental silo would look like there?
Well, let me see. Okay, I recall a time when two different departments budgeted for the same program using different grant funds. One department budgeted for summer school programming for bilingual students using their Title III funds, and the exact same items were budgeted under the 21st Century Community Learning Center grant. So this duplication resulted in the need to write amendments to the state to change how the funds were being allocated. It was just an unnecessary hassle.
I totally get what you're talking about there. And it seems like you just demonstrated how departmental siloing at the district level can result in inefficiencies.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the two of us just quickly demonstrated two negative impacts of siloing: poor outcomes for students and families and inefficient use of time and effort.
But at the same time, these departments serve a really important function within the district ecosystem, and they do function in ways that create really great outcomes too. So this has me thinking that this is why remodeling is a better option than taking a sledgehammer to it and completely destroying it.
So true, Kim.
You know, I got to stay true to that metaphor, right? Okay. So what's the second silo or room that needs remodeling?
Let's talk about location silos.
Ooh, I'm betting I can guess what that is.
Okay. Well, if you were thinking about how the physical location of different teams can create silos, then you guessed right. Have you ever seen this?
Definitely. I can remember a time when a school was overcrowded. So there were portable classrooms on campus. So in Florida, there are a lot of thunderstorms in the afternoon. At the beginning and the end of the school year, the teachers and students in the portable classrooms would sometimes have to miss assemblies or their scheduled time in the library or computer lab because the weather was too dangerous for them to go outside.
That doesn't seem fair.
Right.
I can imagine, yeah, those teachers and students must have felt isolated. And actually, the more I think about that, Kim, it seems like they were robbed of experiences and knowledge, which would negatively impact student and teacher outcomes.
I totally agree. And there are location silos at the district level too, aren't there?
There definitely can be. I think it depends on the size of the district and whether the offices are all in one place or not. I recall when I worked in the professional development department of a district, the district office building had to be shut down due to mold. And so we were scattered all across the district. My department ended up using the chorus room of a middle school as an office space for a year, and other departments were in other buildings all over the place. And honestly, the culture of the district really suffered because there was little to no interaction between departments.
Yeah, I get how that could have made it really hard to collaborate.
It definitely did. And we were not nearly as effective or efficient as we could have been while we were scattered.
Yeah. All right. So getting back to our metaphor, what's the third type of room to be remodeled?
The third type of silos are scheduling silos. I think you see this a lot at the school level, like when instructional staff have different lunch periods and planning periods, making it really hard to create synergy without the right systems.
That is true. I remember a time when we had a number of ELA sections. So my schedule didn't align with the rest of my team. I was always out of the loop of what was going on because I wasn't at the same meetings as everyone else.
Oh, that sounds frustrating.
It was actually more than frustrating because I felt like I never knew what was going on. I miss important schedule changes. I wouldn't know when to show up or I'd show up late. This was really embarrassing. And it made me feel like I was failing at my job.
Yikes, Kim. And it was no fault of your own.
Yeah, that was a tough year now that I'm remembering back on it. But I think we have these years to help us learn. And for me, one of the biggest takeaways was the impact that silos can have on our well-being. Right now in education, school leaders are feeling the impact of high rates of teacher attrition and unfillable vacancies. These things are connected to morale and well-being.
Whoa. So for those out there wondering, why do I need to be thinking about systemic synergy? That right there is a really important reason.
Indeed. Okay. So what's the last category of organizational silos to discuss?
This room is known as rank or level silos. And before we get too far into this, I'll start with a disclaimer. This one might push some people outside of their comfort zones.
Agreed, but it is important nevertheless.
Do you want to start off or should I, Kim?
Right. I'll jump into the deep end. When we say rank or level silos, what we're referring to are those occasions when individuals or groups withhold strategy, goals, key information from other people within the organization who are at a different hierarchical level. So this can happen both intentionally or unintentionally.
True. And I think we agree that not all information can or even should be shared with all people for the sake of privacy, safety, or other legitimate reasons.
Absolutely. But I would argue that some important information that could be shared isn't always. This can include strategy, data, goals, information about issues that arise.
You are spot on, Kim. We need to really consider how hierarchy in a school or district can cause a disconnect in information sharing, collaboration, and culture.
Culture. What do you mean by that? Can you elaborate?
Sure. I remember when I became known as a math expert at a particular school. Because of my success, I was repeatedly given opportunities to go to conferences or receive additional math training to come back and share it with the rest of the staff.
That sounds great.
Well, from my perspective, it was until another teacher expressed how unfair she felt it was that I was given all of the opportunities.
Oh, man. You know, I can see how she could see it that way. That's a great point.
Honestly, her comment stopped me in my tracks and totally changed how I viewed the situation. I was the only one being empowered in the area of math, and it was because I had become known as the math lead at the school.
That is a really good example of the potential negative impact of hierarchical silos. It's really striking me how each of these different types can have some pretty serious consequences for students, families, teachers, everybody within the school community.
Kim, that's exactly why a shift towards systemic synergy is so critical.
Agreed. So we know we have these rooms, silos that need remodeling. And the next logical question is how for districts and schools that set their sights on systemic synergy, what can they do?
Yes, this is really where the rubber meets the road. First, I want to reiterate that silos or rooms are necessary and serve a valuable purpose.
Indeed, we are remodeling and not destroying and rebuilding from the ground up.
Exactly. The goal is to optimize the flow of information and collaboration across silos. And the reason we are doing this is to improve outcomes for everybody, staff, students, families.
I think there's going to be a lot of agreement on this point. But of course, the question is going to be, and now what? How? How do we do this?
Always an important question.
Okay. So we've been doing a lot of thinking about this and have been inspired by a woman named Angela Cochran, who suggests a tiered approach that creates windows, opens doors, builds bridges, and when needed, during heavy construction.
I love the parallel between those types of remodeling projects and how to improve synergy in school districts. Let's start with creating windows, the easiest of the remodeling projects. How many times have we imagined what somebody else in our organization does? You hear a person's title and think, that's a job? What does that person do?
Definitely. And we make snap judgments about what the person does based on the job title.
Totally. So I remember when I became a math coach at a school and I overheard a teacher say that I probably just sit in my office all day with my feet up on the desk. And thinking about it now, it's kind of ironic because my office at that time didn't have a window. And when we think back to our silo remodeling theme, having an actual window in my office may have helped the teacher see that I was rarely even in my office, since I was pushing into classrooms to support teachers or was in the workroom creating a math resource room.
That is exactly what creating windows is meant to address, helping others to see what different people and departments actually do. So let's talk about how a school district we create a window.
Since the purpose is to help people have a mutual understanding of what each person or department does, we can make some small adjustments to our current systems here. For example, Cochran's article suggests making time at the end of meetings to have different departments provide updates on what they're working on.
Yes, and with the aim of systemic synergy, a 10-minute time slot can be built into meeting agendas to systematize department and role updates, ensuring that window remodels last.
Exactly. And, you know, this can be done at all levels of the organization. Of course, that is just one strategy for developing a simple system to create windows, but districts and schools can develop others too.
So let's talk about opening doors.
Okay. As you might expect, this is about inviting people outside of a silo inside.
Hence the opening doors metaphor. People walk through doors.
Creating doors is about giving people opportunities to show what they know, share what they do, and by doing this, it builds connections, understanding, and appreciation for the work of others.
Yeah. These opportunities for people to speak across departments or buildings is an important way to build trust, which is a key ingredient of systemic synergy.
I love that connection to trust. The more we know about other teams and what they do and what the people in those teams do, the more we understand them. We learn about their workflows, their challenges, their systems, and that builds shared understanding and trust.
Yeah. For example, in our current roles in different departments, we already have a door in place. We have a regular meeting cadence, so we understand each other's work. My team knows your busiest work time is February through May. So if you say you can't attend our meeting during that time, we totally get it. We trust that answer because we have a deep knowledge of your workflow.
Exactly, Kim. And because we have a door in place in between our two departments, we have learned that our work overlaps quite a bit. And this realization helped us to see a need to build a bridge, which is the third type of remodeling project.
Yes, we have found that we work on similar types of projects. And so we learn from each other about what to do and what not to do.
And that makes both of our departments much more efficient because we're not both starting from scratch. And also, we found that there are certain resources or products that both of our departments need. So we can synergize on those projects and co-develop them. And I think our synergy improves the quality and speeds up development.
Yeah. And because our silos naturally overlap, it makes sense to have a bridge in place. But not all silos need to be connected by bridges, only where it naturally makes sense. The same goes for the most extreme remodeling category, which is heavy construction.
I'm picturing a hard hat here. Heavy construction is the deepest level of synergy because it promotes social interaction and can involve shared goals and works to address common issues. Once bridges are built and silos begin really collaborating, the desire to develop and work towards shared goals may arise.
So when it comes to education, there are definitely bridges and heavy construction projects that can improve functioning at the district and school level. Why don't we share some examples?
Great. Well, something that comes to mind is when a district rallies around a key goal. For example, let's say a district-wide trend in low science proficiency comes up, and that drives a key goal to improve the effectiveness of science instruction. In a siloed organization, schools, teacher teams, or even individual teachers are left to try and improve science proficiency scores on their own. Everyone's trying different things, so the workload on teachers is really high.
Yes, but with a systemic synergy approach, bridges and heavy construction can take place. Shared goals can be set, ideas and resources can be shared, and the workload can be divided since everyone is working on the same thing in the same manner.
I get really excited about systemic synergy for several reasons, and one of them is the decrease in workload. Also, data can be shared to identify pockets of success, so those effective instructional strategies can be replicated, making everyone more effective.
Whoa, that sounds like a potential paradigm shift to me. I remember when district leaders weaponized data from different teachers or schools. Instead of doing what you said, they criticized and applied pressure on the underperformers.
I never understood that mentality, Kim. I mean, we can't all be experts in all things. So investing time and resources in studying what is working so it can be replicated is so much more efficient and effective than throwing time and resources at what isn't working.
Exactly. And as I mentioned before, working together creates a culture of trust and allows districts to operate from an asset-based approach instead of a deficit-based approach. Focusing on assets has a profound effect on morale and things like individual and collective efficacy.
Oh, we've had a lot of big ideas about how to remodel silos here, Kim. Now that we know how to create windows, open doors, build bridges, and engage in heavy construction, let's talk about where these remodeling projects need to happen.
We actually just touched on this when we discussed building bridges and heavy remodeling.
It all starts with a window, so organizations can see where doors are needed. And when doors are opened, then it becomes clear where bridges and heavy construction would be beneficial. Districts and schools should create windows everywhere.
So in the show notes, there is a resource that we have created to help districts and schools start their remodeling projects. In it, we provide an exercise for identifying silos and then give you these guiding questions to help identify where your organization needs to add their windows, their doors, bridges, or even help you to determine if you need some heavy construction.
Okay, so let's recap. Today, we discussed the need to remodel silos to create pathways to systemic synergy. And in the show notes, you will find citations and resources that accompany this episode.
All right. Our next episode is about a type of silo completely unique to education, curriculum silos. You will not want to miss this one. So make sure to like and subscribe to Change Starts Here, so when this episode comes out, you'll know when it drops. Thank you for joining us.